think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can always stream the show and past episodes at huntleyradio.com. In the cinematic world, short films are an art form all unto themselves, telling a complete story with beginning, middle, and end, but in an abbreviated time period. Yellow Polka Dot is a short film that has received rave response in film festivals and competitions. Joining me today to discuss the film is Ben Kirsten, the screenwriter, director of photography, and co-producer. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Hey, Ricky. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, this is being produced by 54 Script Productions, which is a new entity formed by you and the co-producer of this and director, Tim Gwynn. Can you tell us a little bit about where the concept for the company started?
Yeah. So I'd been on and off freelancing for a number of years working in film. And I was in another period of freelancing when COVID-19 came around. And so my wife, then fiance at the time, was spending her days with 5 and 6 year olds over Zoom. She was a teacher at the time. I had nothing to do. And so I was like, you know what? I haven't written a short film in a while. So I wrote a short film just in a day. And I said, wow, that was really easy. Maybe I'll write a new one tomorrow. And the next day I wrote another one. And the day after that, I wrote another one. And that kept going for around 60 days. I took Sundays off. But 54 scripts is what I came up with over the course of about 60 days. And the shortest one was about 5 pages. And the longest one was, I think, 34. And at the end of it, I turned to my friend Tin, and I said, hey, let's start making these. And so we put together a production company, and we are 3 films in so far.
Fantastic. Now, had you worked with Tin before?
Yeah, I met Tin at a, meet and greet, called Martini Shot, a few years prior from that. So maybe 2018, 2017. And I brought him on some projects. He brought me on some projects. And we just had a really good shorthand. We knew each other pretty well in terms of how we like to work together. And it just seemed like a natural fit. We both wanted to be creating the same sort of content.
Now, as a creator, as a filmmaker, what causes you to concentrate in short films? What is the appeal about that specific media?
Getting a feature film or a series off the ground is akin to getting to the moon. You know, you need a lot of money, you need a lot of help, you need a lot of people, you need a lot of time. My feature, Chrysalis, I wrote in, I think, spring of 2011. We shot it 2012, 2013. It was finished 2014. So, you know, all around turnaround for a feature film is, yeah, three and a half years from page one to, you know, and credits rolling. And short films, like I said, each one of these took me a day to write. You know, it takes us a couple of months to produce each one and a couple of months in post to, you know, color correct and edit and sound mix and all that. But it's really easy, comparatively speaking, to get a short film created than to create a feature film from scratch.
And then what is the future for a short film? Once you've made it, where does it go next?
So on the low end, you put it on YouTube, you put it on Vimeo, you spread it around. It's a nice business calling card. It's a nice way to get more work, to get yourself known in the community. You know, let's say you're new to Chicago or in New York or whatever, and you're trying to get on set, you can point people to, hey, here's a 10-minute short film I made. And so people know that you're serious. On the high end, there's movies like Whiplash that came out in 2014. Damien Chazelle, who wrote that and directed it, made it first as a short film with with this a lot of the same name actors. J.K. Simmons was in it. I think instead of Miles Teller, it was I forget the name of the actor, but he made this short film, 10, 15 minutes, and they went, "Oh my God, that was incredible. Here's the money," with a lot of work on his end to turn it into a feature, which was then, Oscar nominated and won an Oscar for J.K. Simmons. So if you've got the right idea and you've got the right connections, obviously, you can turn a short film into a feature with enough hustle.
And what made you pick Yellow Polka Dot as the first film to make out of the total 54 scripts?
I mentioned my feature from several years ago, Chrysalis. It's a very sad film, about three people walking through the post-apocalypse in Chicago. It's super depressing. Its visuals are very grimy and stark and sad. And after I created that film, with the help of Glass City Films and a number of friends who own that company, a lot of the work I got was very grungy, ugly films to shoot, intentionally ugly, horror films, sad dramas and stuff. And I was kind of tired of doing that work. I really wanted to make something pretty. And Yellow Polka Dot is kind of, to me, the peak of that mountain in terms of like pretty. It's about two beautiful women on a beautiful beach in a beautiful club, falling in love. And love stories are beautiful. And I didn't want there any to be any sadness in it, although there's of course melancholy in it. I didn't want there to be any zombies or anyone getting, shot in the head. I just wanted to make a pretty story, and sort of close the chapter on making ugly, scary looking films.
And what you achieved in the film is a very, very beautiful stylized look. And you did that on a very minimal budget, and you had very professional results. Are there any tricks to accomplishing that huge feat?
So that is a really loaded question. The short enough answer is one. I wrote a script that, yes, takes place in the 60s, but takes place predominantly at a beach, right? So beaches are relatively unchanged. And then takes place in a beautiful nightclub that were Chicago is lucky to have several speakeasy 60s era looking clubs. We went to the Green Mill, we went to the Gaslight Club, we went to all these different places to see if we could shoot there, and we ended up going with a place called Untitled in River North, because I always wanted to shoot there, and they were super willing to work with us and our budget. And so that's one, right? Write something that you can shoot for cheap, and then you don't have to fight. If you write a short film that takes place on a space station, that's going to be expensive. It's going to be difficult. And then two. We were really lucky in that we were working with Camera Ambassador here in Chicago, a rental company that does camera and G&E. And they, I worked for them at the time, so did Tin. And they were really ready to work with us and help us to get the sort of equipment we needed, the sort of camera we wanted. We shot on the Alexa that Arri makes, and that's sort of industry standard. It's the camera that, if you look at the Oscar nominations for like best cinematography for the last 10 years, 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 cameras were the Alexa or made by Arri itself. And so right there, you've got a beautiful look because not only does it require a lot of the skills of the people making it, but the right tool in the right hand, then you can get something really wonderful out of it.
Now, if you were to classify yourself as a director, a producer, a writer, or a director of photography, your primary identifier would be DP. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's what I went to Columbia here in Chicago for. It's not quite the majority of the work I've done on set, but a lot of it. I've worked in G&E a lot, gaffing films and gripping. But in the last probably to 10 years, most of the work I've done on set has been, yeah, being a DP.
And is that where you see your future going, or are you kind of exploring different avenues?
So the company 54 Scripts, the two creative producers on it, Tin and I, we're both DPs. And our deal was that each one of us would take turns DPing while the other one directs. And I don't want to say begrudgingly directs because we have a lot of fun doing it, but both of us want to be DPing each one of the projects. And my experience has been that directors, it's not that they're obviously difficult to work with. It depends entirely on the director. But when you're working with a director like Tin and I, who are coming up with the look together and we're producers on it together, there's not as much butting heads as when a director or production hires a DP. There's usually some sort of miscommunication. There's always a little bit of fighting on set, where Tin and I don't have much of that because with both of us being DPs, we want and do have a really good rapport in finding the look that we're going for. When it comes to, producing and yeah, and writing, I do love writing. It's certainly something that I've liked to do since before I even attended film school. But the producing side of it was, I could Tin and I can produce these films ourselves and save the cost of hiring a producer. So it's really all about, what's the most value we can get on screen by doing as much of the work ourselves?
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can stream the show at huntleyradio.com. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Ben Kirsten, one of the producers of the engaging short film Yellow Polka Dot from 54 Script Productions. So let's talk about Yellow Polka Dot. What is the overall concept for the movie?
So, the concept of the film is two young women, mid-20s, late-20s, sitting on a beach watching their husband and fiance, throw a football around in the surf, and they're talking about the fun time they had the night before. And as the story progresses and they talk, it starts to become evident that there's something else happening between them. A magnetic connection, an attraction, something. And it starts to unfold that something happened the night before when they were all out together at a club. And the question then is, where does that put them now? Where do they move forward from here? Was it a fluke? Was it meant to be? And what will they find in each other, and what sort of dangerous decisions will they make at a time when it was not, when women and men in the 60s, specifically, weren't very open about their sexuality, at least at that point in the 60s, the early 1960s.
Now, let's talk about the two wonderful actresses that you have in this film. There's two primary roles, Barbara and Sandra. Let's talk about Barbara first. Tell me about the actress playing Barbara.
So Barbara is played by a wonderful actress that I've worked with a couple times now, Amy Stricker. I met her while I was shooting a web series, a 10-part TV web series called The Colman Show, which she had like a guest starring role in. And she really popped for the camera. She really pulled focus in all the great ways while also letting her fellow actors have their moments. She was really comedically funny and very gifted, and I knew that she had a very limited role on that show, and I asked her on the last day of production if she'd be interested in working with us, and she said she was. I told her the couple of scripts I had her in mind for, and we screen tested her for Yellow Polka Dot, and she's got these big doleful eyes. She got a very commanding voice and presence, but also a sort of shrinking violet, empathetic quality to her that she can really turn on the there's something happening below the surface sort of look and feel. She's not, I think she's like 5'3" or 5'4". There are moments in it she feels super tall, as much as a skyscraper. Other moments she feels small as a mouse. And she just had this quality that we were looking for our first short film. And so yeah, we were really happy to partner with her on this.
Now, I've worked with actually Ben and Amy on another film, and I just have the utmost respect for Amy because you cinematically you can see there's always something going on behind her eyes. She's excellent at relating that there's more to what's going on than meets the eye. I just think she's wonderful and a great choice for this film. Let's also talk about the woman playing or the actor playing Sandra. That's Tori Lane Ross, I believe. How did
Yes.
tell us a little bit about her.
So we put out a casting call. We had a bunch of people respond and several people who were really good for the part. And I sort of had my heart set on this other actress. And then sort of last minute, last couple of days, because we did an online casting call, Tori sent in her tape and instantly everyone else melted away. And we talked to her, we spoke to her on Zoom, and she was in LA at the time. I think she's back local to Oklahoma City or maybe Tulsa, I'm not sure. Oklahoma, definitely. And she was very interested in the project. It seemed very, if I could use a Hebrew word, beshert, meant to be. And we just sort of crossed our fingers and said, let's hope she has great chemistry with Amy. And they met, I think, the day before we shot to just quickly go over the scene. And then on day one, when they're sitting in the booth together at the nightclub, they were just magnetic. They just really clicked, and you could feel the tension between them, but also a real connection. And yeah, we got lucky, of course, but also, a lot of hard work to find the right people for the roles.
Now, one thing that struck me about Tori's interpretation of the character is she had almost a Tennessee Williams air to her. She reminded me a lot of actresses who have played Maggie the Cat in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, almost like a Southern charm. Is that something that struck you from the auditions, or did that just kind of come out?
So specifically with her accent, that's something that's written into the script. It was something where we wanted both parts to be, birds of a feather, but birds are a lot of different colors. If you're thinking of like a macaw or a parrot, all these different color plumages, but all from the same bird. And they're two characters that have a deep connection. They're very similar in a lot of ways, but they're also vastly different. So in the ways that Amy played Barbara, we wanted Tori to sort of play the opposite, to be very open and free and sort of in your face, and to be a personality that instead of being a shrinking violet like Amy played Barbara at times, to be more the smoldering temptress, and to be toying with Barbara at times and knowingly pushing the bounds and flirting and being cruel isn't the word, but certainly not fully comprehending how she might be affecting someone. When both our actors read for their parts, I wrote them monologues that were outside of the script. And Tori's monologue, the monologue for Sandra, is about how she borrowed her neighbor's car and it broke down, and a man stopped and helped her get the car running again. And she remembers all these details about the man had been fishing, he had caught a couple of trout, whatever. She doesn't even mention the man like having a name. He just fixed her car, she got back on the road, and that really captured what Tori ended up pulling out of the part and of the script was that she's a person who creates these effects in others and is knowingly or unknowingly dealing with that.
Now, Tin directed this film. What was it like working with Tin as a director?
Working with Tin both as a director and as a DP when him and I have switched roles has been fantastic. Because him and I have worked so close in pre-production and post, production goes for us pretty smoothly. I can't, I can't say every moment has always been perfect because, there are, of course, moments where him and I might see things slightly differently, but him and I spoke at length about each short film that we've so far produced. And instead of having, disparate ideas or yeah, we're sort of thinking of the same thing, we discuss things for so long into such detail that there isn't really the room to misconstrue each other. And so that's been really fantastic.
Now, the title Yellow Polka Dot refers to a costume in the film. Was that the title going into the film and you had to find a yellow polka dot outfit? Or did you have the outfit and say, wow, that's the perfect name for the movie?
So the title comes from the song, "She Wore an Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini." So I had to find that bikini, which was surprisingly difficult to find an era specific bikini that was a two piece that was yellow and polka dotted. And that song really stuck out in my head, because it was a song in the 60s about a changing time where like they didn't use as much fabric, that women were being a little bit freer, and that really captured, this moment in time and what's happening between these two characters. And so with the bikini that Sandra's wearing, it directly contradicts the look of what Barbara is wearing, which is a dark, heavy looking one piece. And so I'm very big into art department reflecting every sort of beat of the story. An example is Sandra's laying on a towel that is striped with the rainbow. This is a queer LGBTQ plus story, and that her wearing this bikini and fiddling with it throughout the film and sort of toying with Barbara is saying more than just, oh, she's wearing a bikini. It's like, no, the bikini is making a statement, a very strong statement about what's happening between these two women.
Would you say there's a social message to this film?
A social message. So a lot of gay and lesbian cinema, at least in the early 2000s, was very heavy, was very much about being mistreated and trying to find their place in the world. And I wanted to tell a story that, one, I felt like I could tell naturally. And a love story, I think, can be told from any perspective. And I felt it would be a little disingenuous to tell a story about the gay and lesbian and bi and trans struggle, not being directly in that population. And so, in terms of a social message, I just wanted to tell a story that if you switch the genders, if you say, let's say Barbara's a man, but Sandra's still a woman, and they're sort of figuring each other out, it's the same story. That like, yes, it's a different context because they're either lesbian or bi or queer. They're unsure of what they are. But the story can be told where the characters are straight and still be the same story. That it's not necessary to tell a story about the LGBTQ community that has to be so flavor specific.
Now, There are sometimes things that happen behind the scenes that prove that actors are just wonderfully talented. I understand there was an issue with some biting flies on the set, and because it was not apparent in watching the film, but I understand maybe it was a little difficult.
Yeah, so on the beach, we did have a bug problem with flies that were biting the actresses who, you know, were very exposed and also having to put on a fair amount of like perfumed sunblock because we were out there from essentially 6 in the morning until 8 o'clock at night. So we were getting a full dose of sun. You know, we had a giant 12 by 12 silk to soften the light, whatever, but it's still a lot of UV light hitting our actors. And they got out of the sun as often as they could, but still, the flies were biting everyone. But, you know, Tori and Amy had to be on camera and had to pretend they weren't being bit. It, I think, added to their performances in terms of, like, they were at times very annoyed. They were at times very on edge. And it seemed they were being bitten the worst when they actually needed to be sort of at each other's throats in the script, getting a little biting towards each other, no pun intended. And so, yeah, in the finished film, you do see one or two flies flying around and Amy, you know, sort of swats one away. But luckily, it didn't affect our shooting too much.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. I've had the great pleasure of talking shop with filmmaker Ben Kirsten regarding his short film, Yellow Polka Dot. Ben, it has been an absolute pleasure. You have made a really great film.
Thank you.